The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Ah, yes, good day, tokers and tokens, and welcome. It is Tuesday, January 15th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Excuse me for the lack of graphics and everything, but I was so distracted by working on our smartapproaches.com website and by some stunning breaking news that we'll get to in the headlines today that my schadenfreude had just overwhelmed my timing and I completely missed getting the graphics on. But we'll get those for later on in the show. And for those of you listening on the podcast, you don't care anyway, right? So let's get on with it. On today's show, it is the third Tuesday of the month, excuse me. And on the first and third Tuesdays, we go across the pond with Normal UK. Greg DeHoat will be joining us, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK. You know I'm here from Cannabis Cure TV right here on 420radio.org. We'll get the latest updates on what's happening in the UK and Europe on drug policy. Also on today's show, we are going to get into a radical rant. There's a lot of 2020 hindsight going on with respect to marijuana legalization. And U.S. News and World Report interviews people with regard to legalization in Washington and Colorado, and how it left behind the 18 to 21-year-olds. We'll talk about that, and I'll rant a little bit as well. Then we're also going to get behind the headlines on today's show, and we're going to take a look a little deeper into that study that said marijuana use frequently causes a drop in IQ, and the latest study that says that that first study was pretty flawed. Times Maya Salovitz, one of the best writers on the marijuana issue out there, took a deep look at that, and we'll see what she had to say as well. We've also got your marijuana headlines, including headlines out of Washington State, where despite the passage of I-502, it looks like they still want to bust people for marijuana. It's crazy. We'll talk all about that right after this first break, including other headlines, a look at Weld County, Colorado, banning marijuana sales and grows, a former coach and principal taking a plea deal for his marijuana growing, and a medical marijuana proposal in Ramona, California that got a cool reception. All that's coming up in also our daily Toker Tunes for Electric Tuesday. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belleville Show right here at 420radio.org. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah.
California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times cannabis celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Compared to a planet, you're all just a bunch of specks. But we love you all anyway. Mum-mum.
This is tremendous mass of waves all over in space.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer?
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, January 15th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Toke of the Town blogger held in Kitsap County Jail on assault charges. Stephen E. Elliott, marijuana activist and blogger at the popular site Toke of the Town, has been charged with assault in the fourth degree, according to records from the Kitsap County Jail. Mr. Elliott is being held on a $5,000 cash bond. As of press time, jail records indicate he is still incarcerated. According to police records, Mr. Elliott was booked on Monday, January 14th at 8 p.m. We will update this breaking news story as more reliable information becomes available. Marijuana eradication to continue despite new law. This from KTVB.com in Boise. Washington State Patrol said Monday it expects its marijuana eradication program, which has confiscated hundreds of thousands of plants and arrested dozens of illegal growers, to continue despite passage of I-502. The initiative legalizes the possession of small amounts of recreational marijuana, but still prohibits producing it. Washington State Patrol's program has operated for most of the decade, and last year took down roughly 200,000 plants, down from 600,000 3 years earlier. Lieutenant Ron Mead with the Narcotics Division said those figures are a sign the program works. I-502 passed, and Washington may no longer be eligible for the $1.5 million in federal funds that supports the eradication effort. Mead said, quote, "It is our expectation and our hope that the level of marijuana eradication funding remains constant. We have no indications that it won't," end quote. Still, others wonder whether it is worth it. State Representative Roger Goodman said Monday, while cultivating marijuana remains illegal, quote, "Politically, I don't see a reason to spend money on the program," end quote. Goodman, who supported I-502 and sits on the Public Safety Committee, added, quote, "It's the federal government's drug war. Let them pay for it. We're not going to pay for it anymore," end quote. Why is Bellevue, Washington still charging marijuana possession cases? This from the Seattle Times. Last May, a Bellevue police officer found 7 grams of marijuana in the car of a 26-year-old tech industry worker. There is no evidence the driver, Aaron McPhee, was high or drunk. He had no criminal history. He had just a few joints worth of pot. In November, voters voiced, no shouted, their disapproval of low-level marijuana possession charges. At least 9 county prosecutors dismissed such pending cases after the election, citing the will of the people and acknowledging the difficulty of getting a jury to convict. But the case against McPhee continues. On Tuesday, his attorney, Scott Leist, is arguing for a dismissal in the Bellevue Division of King County District Court. He cites a 1934 U.S. Supreme Court ruling from the end of alcohol prohibition, which tossed a criminal case against apparent bootleggers because prohibition was deprived of force by the end of prohibition. Bellevue City Prosecutor Susan Irwin disagrees. McPhee knew he was committing a crime, Irwin said, and Initiative 502 is not a retroactive get-out-of-jail-free card. Irwin said, quote, even though the law has now changed, it was in effect at the prior time. Dismissing this case, she said, would be unfair to the people who were convicted of misdemeanor marijuana possession under similar circumstances. A former Antioch, Wisconsin principal and football coach reaches plea deal to avoid jury trial. The former Antioch Elementary School principal and former high school football coach has pleaded guilty to one count of manufacturing THC. Six other similar charges were dismissed during a plea deal with prosecutors Tuesday in Langlade County Court. John Lund, age 48, is expected to be sentenced March 6th. He faces a maximum sentence of 3.5 years in prison. Lund said in the first part of November 2011, his brother-in-law, Bradley Maws, called wanting to know if anyone was looking for marijuana. According to the criminal complaint, Lund obtained marijuana from Maws and gave two bags to Scott Peterson. Lund told police he and Peterson used to, quote, get stuff for each other, end quote. Peterson, a former Antigo High football coach and retired special education teacher, was originally charged with 26 drug charges, including manufacturing THC. In June, Peterson reached a plea deal and was sentenced to 6 months in jail and 4 years probation. And that's our 420 radio news for today, January 15th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the most recent study debunking the previous study claiming that heavy marijuana use leads to an 8-point drop in IQ. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and we reported on the study that had been done by Duke University Research that supposedly showed an 8-point drop in IQ for people that use marijuana. This was published this in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and basically what they said was that if you started using cannabis weekly before you turned age 18, and you continued to use marijuana off into adulthood, you lost an average of 8 IQ points over that period. Now, 8 IQ points, to give you some idea of how much that would be, it would take you from a 100 IQ, which is average. That's the 50th percentile, where, you know, half the people are smarter than you and half the people are dumber than you. Again, IQ really doesn't say that, but let's just leave that aside for now. And it would move you down to the 29th percentile. Losing 8 points of IQ puts you in a place where 71% of the people have a higher IQ than you, right? So that's supposedly to give us some frame of reference as to how terrible this marijuana is. Now, the study showed that the level of decline was seen mostly in about 8% of the people who started using cannabis early and qualified for a diagnosis of marijuana addiction at least three times between ages 18 and 38. So people who continued to use off into adulthood. And the suggestion from this study was that using marijuana often in the adolescent years was leading to a decline in brain growth, in brain development, supposedly. Well, there's a new analysis from this, and Times' Maya Salovitz, she's one of the best writers on this issue. You can check this out in Times Healthland out there on the web. And Times' Maya Salovitz points out that a new analysis has come out. We reported on this yesterday, and it's published in the same journal, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and it calls these IQ findings into question. Although the initial research, Salovitz writes, involved a relatively large number of participants and controlled for factors such as alcohol dependence and schizophrenia that might also affect cognitive development, the new study suggests that the original one did not account for the effects of poverty, which can affect the way IQ changes over time. The author of the new study is named Ole Rogaberg, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He's Norwegian, but Ole Rogaberg from the Ragnar Frisch Center for Economic Research in Norway. And in his paper, he puts it pretty bluntly. He says, quote, the estimated effect of adolescent onset cannabis use on IQ is likely biased, and the true effect could be zero. It would be too strong to say that the results have been discredited, but fair to say that the methodology is flawed and the causal inference drawn from these results is premature, end quote. Now, Meyer, back at Duke University, the people who put out the original, you know, pot makes you stupid research, and her colleagues also note that their investigation only had 23% of participants from lower income families. And they say because of that, it makes it unlikely that the effects of poverty were enough to affect the whole group, right? Only one out of four of the people we studied were poor. So how could marijuana, you know, how could poverty be causing the lack of IQ here? And they also examined middle and low socioeconomic groups and saw IQ changes that were linked to marijuana use in both of them. So the Duke researchers come back and they say, quote, by restricting our analysis to only include children from middle-class homes, our findings of IQ decline in adolescent onset cannabis users remain unaltered, thereby suggesting that the decline in IQ cannot be attributed to socioeconomic factors alone, end quote. And this is where we go back and forth between these researchers, right? So what the one side is saying, the Duke side is saying, look, we studied all these people, actual people, we followed their actual lives and took actual IQ tests, and we found that the ones that used a lot of marijuana often and early in life had less IQ, had lost IQ. And the other side, Ole Rogaberg and these people are doing computer simulations, taking into account factors like poverty and getting the same results as this study, saying, yeah, maybe it's marijuana, but maybe it's also because these guys are poor. Rogaberg points out that poor children tend to start smoking pot at a much younger age than rich or middle-class kids do. I know I was middle-class. I didn't start till I was 22. Early exposure to marijuana and other recreational drugs is linked to higher risk of addiction, which the Duke study found connected to IQ loss. Marijuana may also lead to higher dropout and expulsion rates from school, which may be an indirect way that marijuana is connected to IQ. And Rogaberg says, quote, as you consider groups with higher and higher exposure to cannabis, these groups will have higher and higher shares of participants from low socioeconomic backgrounds. He also notes the other researchers have that other researchers have never found a connection between teen marijuana use and lowered IQ. And for me, it's just one of these cases of, you know, we can say that the science says this, or we can say the science says that, or we can believe our own damn eyes. When you look at the Silicon Valley and you look at all of the early internet entrepreneurs and developers and hackers and coders out there, some of the most brilliant people out there are frequent marijuana users, some who started in early adolescence, some who started before their teenage years. One of the most brilliant programmers I know is a kid who started when he was 12 years old smoking pot. This is not an endorsement to have kids go out there and smoking pot. It's just to say that this fear-mongering about how terrible a cognitive deficit you will have based on your marijuana use is just that. It's just fear-mongering. Now, it's probably not a good idea to be, you know, waking and baking and, you know, puffing tough all day long in your teenage years. It might stunt some development there. Yeah, sure. But who says by force of law we have to live up to our ultimate potential? That's the problem I have with these kind of studies. Hey, Bri.
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
Good. I mean, after all, we know what alcohol does to people and their IQ, but we don't force them to stop drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I wish someone would force me to stop.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Brother man, dude, it has been way too long, and you should come over. Let's hang out, chill at my place. Hey, long time no see, right? Hey, come in now. You brought the marijuana, right? Just checking. Can I take a look at that? Thanks. Oh, wow, this is good. This is that, you got that from that Juan? That other? Yeah, I remember this shit.
Cheers. Some good shit, man. This is. Where'd you get this?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I always rather would smoke out of a bowl than a bong. I think it's my grandma.
A baby? Wow, yeah. 7? That's awful. I don't.
Hey, let me show you this YouTube video. It's so funny. It's like. Are you hungry? I'm a little hungry. I could have a little snack.
This food's only, like, 4 days old.
I'm so good at this when I'm stoned. Yeah, hi. Do you guys deliver? And how long will that be?
Ready for round 2?
Who do you feel like watching? What are you in the mood for?
You don't like Nurse Jackie? I'm so hot!
You hear that?
You hear the fucking rant?
There's no more weed? I'm tired. Are you tired? Getting tired. Falling asleep.
Let's do this again, you know, we'll hang out, we'll...
Yeah, take care.
It's quite simple, I'm a very nasty drunk. I get mean, I get loud, I'll tell your deepest, darkest secrets to a stranger, and I'll puke on your shoes. So, if that's the kind of behavior that this culture promotes, you know, fuck it.
Your one room schoolhouse of choice. Your one stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
Sundays at 3, right here on 420radio.org.
Man, is that the Reefer Man?
That's the Reefer Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser, like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Ken Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man? If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny reefer man? If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the reefer man.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back, and enjoy your daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 25 minutes past the hour, and for today on Electric Tuesday, I'm taking a shot here because I got a request, actually, from a band out there called Latin Quarter. And initially the name Latin Quarter sounds like it probably would belong on Irie Wednesday, but I already stepped on Irie Wednesday last week for Brian the Red, so I got to give him Irie Wednesday this week, right? Man, I can't be taking all the Irie Wednesday tunes.
Hey, man, as long as it's Irie, get it on out.
Well, we'll see. If this one's good, we'll play another one sometime later for another Irie Wednesday. I love these people that are getting in touch with me. The band is called Latin Quarter. You can find them at latinquarter.bandcamp.com. They sent a tweet out to me the other day. Just said, check out the song Legalize It, The Making of Al Capone. And I'm looking for that song on their Bandcamp, and I'm not finding it. So I'm going to play another song from them. We'll get the Legalize It one when we can. But this one kind of spoke to me as well. It's called If I Believed in God by Latin Quarter. Let's check this one out.
Drops on some wedding party. These aren't people we count worthy. Unnamed, unimportant, in some non-placed brown skins usually. War settlements on the West Bank and evictions in Jerusalem. Righteous men with their righteous wars and righteous talks of peace. If I believed in God, I would ask you, could we start all over again? That's what I would ask him. If I believed in God, I would ask him, could we start all over again? That's what I would ask him. Do without the kings, those who strive to live above the rest. And can truth mean what it says, not what power thinks is best? No serpent, please, no. All this fear of women, sex and blood, and not worship men who once would sacrifice their only son. More and more I turn away, so much I know is true. I go straight to the back page, I bury myself in transfer news. I don't wanna read about no woman stoned or blasphemer running for his life. Many now they do fight back, I deny it's how I survive. If I believed in God, I would ask him, could we start all over again? That's what I would ask him. If I believed in God, I would ask him, could we start all over again? That's what I would ask you. Do without the kings and those who strive to live above the rest. And can truth mean what it says, not what power thinks is best? Oh no, serpent, please, no. All this fear of women, sex and blood, and not worship men who once would sacrifice their only son.
truth mean what it says? No serpent, please. And not worship men who once would sacrifice their only son.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, everybody, 29 after the hour, and we are going to go all the way across the pond today and speak to our good friend with Normal UK and the UK Cannabis Social Club's Greg DeHote, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK, is out there. A lot of K's in there. How you doing?
How's it going, Russ?
Good to hear you, too. Are you on a speaker by any chance?
I'm on my Skype. I'm on my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Is it glitching?
Just getting a little bit of echo feedback on there, but I think we're getting you in a little clearer now.
Volume down and see if that helps.
Yeah, that helps just a little bit. All right, so we were talking earlier today via Facebook, just trying to find out what's going on with policy there in the UK, and you say there's some new recommendation that's coming forward?
Well, we had I can't remember if I spoke to you when that came out. The Home Affairs Select Committee did a year-long review on drugs policy and came out and said, they called the report Breaking the Cycle. Pretty much said the drug war's not working in the UK, we need to look at other policies, and we need to have a Royal Commission. And David Cameron turned around and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to read it even. So the drug policy in the UK is working, we'll leave it the way it is.
Wow.
And obviously, that's really not what's going on.
This is still after the revelation that the former Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, thought that it was a mistake to recriminalize cannabis. Greg? Oh, we seem to have lost the connection there with Cannabis Cure, having some difficulties here.
When it went home. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you back. Go ahead. We had you back there for just a second. All right, we'll try a disconnect and a reconnect, see if we can get that connection to go just a little bit better. So until we can get that back, we'll go to a quick video, and we'll be back with Greg DeHote from the UK. Stick around.
A huge percentage of the murder cases I'm involved in have some kind of illegal drug distribution component. Drug policy kills more people than the drugs themselves. In 1900, when you could buy heroin in a Sears mail order catalog, the government statistics were that approximately 1.3% of the U.S. population had a drug addiction problem. In 2010, after a 40-year war on drugs, the government estimates that about 1.3% of the population has a drug addiction problem. The statistics are identical. 100 million Americans have admitted they've used illegal drugs. It isn't like a fringe element that's doing it. If you regulated them as a health issue instead of as a criminal moral issue, you could much more effectively regulate them. When you talk to a group of people, liberal or conservative, old or young, and they listen to the facts, they come out of there saying, wow, this really is a crazy thing to be doing.
Our thanks to Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and the folks with Beyond Bars with Brave New Foundation putting out those fantastic videos. We go back on the line here to Greg out there in the UK. We hope we got a better connection. Can we hear you okay, Greg? Hello, Greg. Are you there? Oh, just dropped. Folks, I don't know that we're going to be able to get this connection to work here. Having some problems, amazingly, getting all the way across the American continent and the Atlantic Ocean. What a surprise. We will try one more time here. So if you'll just please stay tuned for just another moment, like one more attempt.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy. When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
All right, big thanks for normal.org for that video. And again, one more time, we're going to go out to the UK and see if we can get Greg on the line. Greg, can you hear us okay?
Yes, all right. I've been playing up. He's been in the garage.
Excellent. Sounds like we got you back. And when we left off on the interview, I was just, you know, trying to point out that, you know, all of these referrals that we should, the drugs policy is working okay, that cannabis policy is working okay, they still come even though you had that revelation that the former Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, thought it was a mistake to upgrade the criminality of cannabis. How is that possible?
Well, she actually sacked the chairman of the Advisory Council on Use of Drugs, who, you know, suggests to the government what they should do. They made 21 recommendations about the Misuse of Drugs Act 1971, which is like what we have over here, controlling drugs or uncontrolling drugs. It was the first time any recommendation had been gone against by the Home Secretary, and it was to, you know, to leave cannabis where it is or decriminalize it. And she reclassified it, made it a stronger, you know, a Class B drug, made the prison sentence harder. So a lot of people over the last sort of 5 years have gone to prison or, you know, had harsher penalties against them just because she, you know, didn't do her homework and played up to the banter of the Daily Mail.
Yeah, and you know, we're finding here in the United States, since we've gotten two states to legalize marijuana now, the latest polls, you know, Hawaii was showing 57% support, Arizona was showing 59% support. Has legalization in the U.S. changed the poll numbers in the U.K. any?
We have a legalization poll of, or decriminalization, I'm not sure which one it's for, but it's at 69% for cannabis. Wow. So the public are, and that was a BBC poll. So the odds, you know, are on our side. The people want it. The government don't. They never listen to us, though, do they? We've actually got to stand up and make them, you know, we're not just got to have that, like, you know, 69%. Yeah, that's good. Let's have it. We've got to actually, you know, get out there and make it more widespread. I mean, on the day that they're breaking the Taboo film came out, I went and did a bomb hit in the middle of town and got chased around the chased around by the police for a little bit. So, but, you know, it's just getting out there and doing these little bits of activism, be sensible, but just, you know, talking to people every day helps.
Is this causing the activist movement to grow and to have a little more hope then?
I think it is. You know, the United Kingdom Cannabis Social Clubs are picking up. People are really, you know, getting out there and getting involved. We've got a lot more local meetings being held and, you know, planned. We're waiting for a few to have them. And Milton Keynes got one coming up. London are thinking of planning one. We just had Sheffield. We're going to be having one here in West Midlands within the next month. I think there's one going on in Kent as well, where GW Pharmaceuticals actually grow 300 tonnes of it. That one's being hosted by the UK Psychedelic Society. So, you know, there's a lot of movement. I think people are interested in these subjects, legalization and regulation. See, it could be like a proper industry that they could actually have a job there. Just the amount of stuff that's being shared around on the internet, YouTube's a massive part of it. People seeing things on Facebook, obviously, like Token Daily, my channel. People come across that, you know, just when they're searching for smoking videos, and it, you know, I try and put in as much activism as I can in there, let them know what's going on in the UK, just, you know, while they're doing their thing, interested in watching someone smoke or watching someone talk about bud or whatever. But if you get people, you know, doing something and interested in it for the right reasons, and say, you know, there is a you know, pot of gold, there's a pot of pot at the end of the rainbow. So we, you know, if we all get there, we'll work together and actually look at what is actually happening over your side of the pond. It can be achievable here.
Oh, absolutely, and it's good to hear that we're getting more people in the UK that are getting involved with this. Now, I know that throughout the rest of Europe, there's, you know, many differing policies on cannabis. Of course, the Netherlands famously tolerates the coffee shops, and you just came back from the Cannabis Cup there in the Netherlands. Coming up soon, yep. I believe it's next month, is Spanibus. Am I mistaken on the timing on that?
No, you are spot on there. Spanibus. Oh, God, that'll be a good one. It's down in Barcelona. All the cannabis social clubs are obviously, you know, down there. There's quite a big movement for it. Residency, they are one half of the CBD crew. They are the Shanty Bob Armstrong. They're down there, based in Resin Club in Barcelona, in the Santander area. So hopefully there'll be quite a lot of UK dabbing going on down there. Yeah. In February.
Yeah.
You're expecting anything less for it, wasn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you probably run into our friend Jorge Cervantes out there as well. So if you do, say hi for us.
I went to him last year, actually. He was having a good time. That's all I'm going to say.
No kidding. He was
having such a good time. He missed his interview with me 3 times.
Well, and speaking of the interviews with you, you're still running Cannabis Cure TV. We are running that here on 420radio.org. We've also got Jorge Cervantes TV. So anytime you guys post some new videos, the people here at 420 Radio will be among the first to see them.
Let's hope we can get a video of Cannabis Cure TV, you know, a double yellow dab.
Yeah.
For radio, was it 420 Radio? Radio 420?
420 Radio. Oh, it's all new radio, to me, Russ. 420radio.org.
420 Radio. I promise. I'll try and remember harder than Hawkins to come to my interviews.
Well, I know, and it is getting on to midnight there in the UK, so we appreciate you staying up late with us. Greg DeHote with Normal UK Cannabis, the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Got some contact information, websites people need to know?
At the moment, it's just cannabiscure.co.uk/UKCSE. Not much on the rest of the website. It's really just about what's going on with the UK CSEs. I'd also advise you to go on to normal-uk.org and to become a member of Normal if you really support the legalization movement. Get involved, become an activist, write a blog for us. Just let us know what's going on in your area. They're the kind of things we need to know, because you're the ones out there experiencing what's going on in the world. We're the ones trying to make an impact and a change for you, so it's important that you have your say. So get on to us.
All right. That's the way to do it. Get involved, get active. You know, like Libra was saying in our chat room, you just started off like a chatter like the rest of us, and now look where you're at, getting interviewed on BBC and everything.
I just started off by talking to all you guys, and you all talk a lot, so everyone out there listening can really. I've been around America, I've met a lot of people, and, you know, activism takes you places. So check out Cannabis Cure TV on YouTube for that stuff.
All right, activism takes you places, and it starts with ACT. Thanks, Greg, for joining us. Appreciate
it.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at tgagenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, I got a story in U.S. News and World Report today, and yes, there still is a U.S. News and World Report. This is an interesting story called Young Adults Left Behind by Marijuana Legalization in Colorado and Washington. And I just want to get you some of the quotes from this. When Washington and Colorado residents voted to legalize marijuana by 11-point margins, 18 to 21-year-old adults cast ballots for measures that left criminal sanctions affecting their age group untouched. And so they talked to numerous people in marijuana legalization. First, Mason Tevert, who was the co-chair of the campaign for Amendment 64, said, quote, "It is still illegal for people under 21 to possess any amount of marijuana, and the penalties will be no different than they were before the initiative passed." He's working with Marijuana Policy Project now, and Marijuana Policy Project said, according to Tevert, "We will not be working to lower the age limit in Colorado or any other state that passes similar legislation, including a 21 age limit." So MPP says they're fine with 21. They're not going to fight for anything lower than that. Now, we also have Alan St. Pierre from Normal interviewed in this story, saying that ongoing prohibition for 18 to 21 year old adults isn't a concern for Normal. Quote, "Normal's board of directors supports legal access to cannabis to be similar to that of alcohol. If society deems 18 years old the age of consent, fine. If society wants to stick with 21 years of age, fine with us too." End quote. They also got in touch with Allison Holcomb, who is the director of the Washington State Legalization Campaign. And she says there's no changes to punitive laws against marijuana possession by those younger than 21. Aaron Houston from Students for Sensible Drug Policy, again, Students for Sensible Drug Policy with a lot of college chapters, of course, told U.S. News that the age restriction comes up for us on a regular basis because the majority of our constituency is people between the ages of 18 and 21. And SSDP supported both the Washington and Colorado initiatives despite our misgivings, but we don't think it's the last step toward ending prohibition, Houston added. Houston also said, quote, "I don't think MPP or Normal would lead the charge to lower the age limit, and I don't think they have the legislative muscle. Am I optimistic that it will happen anytime soon? Absolutely not," end quote. Now, this is a tough scenario because on one hand, we have the fact that marijuana is far safer than alcohol, far safer than cigarettes, and yet kids can get cigarettes, young adults can get cigarettes at age 18, 19 in some states, and they can drink alcohol at 21, and we set marijuana at the 21 level. And a lot of people are calling this out. Douglas Hyatt told the U.S. News he opposed I-502 because it didn't get rid of prohibition. "I fail to understand that you can buy a gun, join the military, get a gun and kill someone, and you can't buy a marijuana cigarette. It's ridiculous," end quote. Brett Engel from Aurora SSDP chapter in Denver said, quote, "It seems silly that you can go to war to die for your country, but you can't have a beer. Considering that cannabis is even less dangerous than alcohol, I think there's even more reason for it to be available to all adults," end quote. And I am sympathetic to that argument. You've heard me say it a million times. If you can carry a gun in the sand, you can put a joint in your hand, right? I completely agree that people who we grant the right to vote, and remember, the right to vote is the exercise of force through nonviolent means, right? Voting is actually force, forcing other people to do things that the majority decides, right? We grant 18-year-olds this franchise through our Constitution, through the, was it 26th Amendment that lowered it to age 18 during the Vietnam War, when people made that argument. How can our kids go to war, carry a gun in the jungle, and yet not be able to vote, right? And that's what got us from a voting age of 21 down to 18. So I'm sympathetic to that argument because it really makes no sense that we would restrict marijuana use to adults 18 and older when they can vote, when they can buy weapons, when they can buy cigarettes, when they can enlist in the military, and so forth. But as the SSDP chapter president noted, we don't let them drink beer either. To me, it's a little disingenuous to make the argument that, well, people 18 to 21 should be able to smoke pot because they can vote, they can die, they can shoot, and so on, and not include alcohol in that discussion. Either there's going to be the concept of graduated age limits or not, right? So if it's such a travesty that someone who can vote and go die in a war can't smoke pot, then it's also a travesty they can't drink beer. Now, argument that, well, alcohol is different. Alcohol is more harmful. Okay. But then the other side will make the point that we see problems with brain development up until age 21 to 25 with respect to marijuana use. So it's a kind of a slippery, weird little slope to base an argument as to whether or not 18 to 20 year olds should still be able to use marijuana if you're basing it on this alcohol idea. However, I still believe we should have an age limit that is lower than 21 for marijuana. In fact, if you want to be really European about it, there ought not be any age limit. If we're really going to gauge the harms, there ought not really be any punishment. However, that's what ought and shall and should. That's the realm of the, you know, theoretical. We have to live in the realm of the possible. And it is just simple electoral calculations that tell you, if you're going to be the first state to legalize marijuana, you're going to have to do it at age 21 and above. There were chances taken. The first Oregon marijuana initiative back in the 80s had an 18-year-old age limit, and it fared the worst of any legalization initiative that's ever been put before the voters. The voters, the public, just aren't ready for that 18-year-old pot smoker, because the 18-year-old legal pot smoker is a second semester high school senior in a lot of cases. And they just cannot reconcile in their mind the idea that the second semester high school senior might be legally allowed to carry joints around in the same school where their little 14-year-old freshman is going to school. This is just an electoral reality. Still, I think we can get marijuana legalization and get it at a lower age limit. I would fight for 19. I think you can make a solid case fighting for age 19, in that by age 19, you should probably be out of high school. You're not going to be interfacing with younger kids in any setting. I think this is the argument made in some states that have 19 as the tobacco age as well. And really, if we were going to do age limits with any respect to the danger or the ability of the youth to be able to handle those responsibilities, we'd be arguing to raise the tobacco age to 21 at least. Hell, we'd be arguing to raise the minimum age to join the military to 21 at least. If you want to have one number of 21 as when you're an adult, hey, I'm fine with that, but put it all up there at 21. It's a little disturbing to me to see a kind of a 2020 hindsight going on in this, where, you know, people are saying, you know, that let me go back to one of Hyatt's quotes. Doug Hyatt says that MPP and Normal are, quote, becoming the new establishment. They're becoming conservative, and they think these Pyrrhic victories are actually going to get us somewhere, end quote. Well, they have. They've gotten us farther in the past few months after legalization than all of the hemp fests and protest rallies combined got us in 40 years. Marijuana is legal in two states. We just talked to Greg across the pond in the UK, where that legalization is having an effect on people. It's giving activists hope. In real numbers, in real terms, there are at least 250 people in the state of Washington whose charges were dismissed the minute legalization happened. We now have legalization being thought of as a legitimate discussion, being recognized by the drug czar and the president at this point, who had previously laughed off all suggestions of legalization. We're now getting polls in the 57 and 59% ranges statewide in some Western states for taxing and regulating marijuana like alcohol. We're seeing growing acceptance by the general public in poll after poll for the idea of legalizing marijuana. We are seeing our opponents on their heels. People like Patrick Kennedy saying, well, gee, it just kind of slipped under the radar, this whole marijuana passing. No, it slipped under their radar because they never believed we could do it. They always looked at us as loser potheads who could never get our shit together. And lo and behold, we did. And the public is starting to agree with us and starting to believe us. So yes, it is a shame that marijuana is not legal for 18 to 21 year olds at this point. It is a tragedy, especially when you look at the demographics of marijuana smoking. Over 20% of the marijuana smoking, over 20% of people 18 to 25 smoke marijuana. That number drops to less than 5% when you're above the age of 26. The primary consumers of marijuana are people between the ages of 18 and 25. And it's a number that peaks right around age 21. So you could say that of that youth age group, half of them, at least half of them, are still criminal consumers of marijuana. But again, you gotta start somewhere. They would still be criminal consumers of marijuana today in Washington and Colorado if those states had gone forward with initiatives that put 18 as the age and the public voted them down. You have to win some victories somewhere, and Washington and Colorado set the table for future states, as Mike Can from Massachusetts, formerly with MassCan, told U.S. News. He expects 2016 that Massachusetts residents will vote on an initiative with an age limit of 18. Quote, continuing a war on adult marijuana users between the ages of 18 and 21 is not acceptable, said Crawford, who believes the 18-year limit should be the blueprint for legalization initiatives in the future. And again, I have a little difference with that. I'd make it 19. I think 19 is a little safer politically. But that's the point, is that the legalization of marijuana in Washington and Colorado are not the end of prohibition. They're the beginning of the end of prohibition. They are the first couple of states to set any sort of precedent that marijuana should be legal. This does not mean that every state moving forward has to follow those same precedents. I recall the No on I-502 people complaining viciously about how if Washington passed 502 with a per se DUID limit, that would become the standard, that would become the blueprint, that would become the precedent for all the other states. Except for the fact that Colorado passed one too, that doesn't have per se DUID and does have home grow. So now there's two precedents to weigh from. And what's going to happen over the next 4 years is people are going to compare and contrast what happens in Washington versus what happens in Colorado. If the people see that Colorado goes off without a hitch, that it's a relatively smooth operation, that giving people six plants in their residence and not having a per se DUID limit doesn't cause the sky to fall, then that becomes the precedent that's far easier to sell come 2016. And if Washington State sees some of the harms predicted of not allowing home grow, a continuation of the criminal black market, for instance, and Washington State sees some injustice coming because of per se DUID laws, and they can compare and contrast the black market in Washington versus the dying black market in Colorado. They can compare and contrast traffic statistics with Washington with traffic statistics from Colorado. And I'm betting dollars to voodoo donuts that come election time in 2016, we'll find that not only did the sky not fall in Washington, but amazingly good things also happened in Colorado, and that is the direction that we should be heading for our marijuana legalization in the future. And besides, 18 to 21-year-olds, you don't like the law being age 21? Write an initiative and get all your 18 to 21-year-old friends out to the polls to vote for it. You do have the right to vote at age 18, so if you don't like it, help change it. Hey, that's all the time we got today. I'm Radical Russ for Brian the Red. Thanks for joining us here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon on 420radio.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the show taking your live questions through chat and our live call-in line at 971-533-7111. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls and you are the voice of the marijuana nation. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Yeah.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!